welcome to Transparency Talk with Nikia Prevall. I'm your host, Nikia, and thank you for tuning in. A successful life is an authentic life. Happiness and creativity rest on the foundation of transparency to yourself and others. Knowing your heart and speaking clearly to others keep you on the path. Gay Hendrix. Hello, and thank you for tuning in to Transparency Talk with Nikia Prevall. I'm your host, Nikia. And I first want to say thank you for taking the time, your time, to listen to my journey, my truth, my transparency. As I stated into the introduction, it's a unwritten journal for growth, my growth. And I'm hoping that as I speak and I hear myself, I'm able to evolve and I'm able to open up other people to a new way of being transparent. I think sometimes people think when they give a little truth, they're being transparent. And by doing so, you not only dishonor yourself, but you dishonor the friendship by not giving truth, all truth. And when we do that, it sets the stage for how you interact with people and how people interact with you. Being transparent does not mean to give a little. Being transparent is giving all, even when people don't accept it. As long as you know you have given all of your layers, all of your truth, what other people think and feel at that point really wouldn't matter. So let's dive into our first episode, and that is Broken Can't Fix Broken. And when you hear that, you're going to say, well, iron sharpens iron. Right, because you have two strong people who are working together, not against each other. When you're broken, you have an idea of what it feels like to be hurt or the pain of hurt, or better yet, the residue of being hurt. When you don't allow yourself to heal from that broken experience, you tend to take that on to all aspects of your life. And when I say broken can't fix broken, you cannot be in a relationship with someone and you have not healed from the crown of your head to the sole of your feet. You cannot look for someone to fix something that's within you. And I guess the best way for me to explain it is to dive right in. I was in a relationship off and on for 5 years. And I went into this relationship very insecure, overwhelmed with my responsibilities. I was a single mother of two. I went into it thinking he was going to fix my baggage or help me remove some of the baggage that I brought into the relationship. And in turn, he walked into the relationship broken, but he wore a mask that made it seem as though everything that he had to offer was authentic. But he himself was broken. And let me just clarify something. There's a difference between broken and bruised. When you break something, a glass, we're going to use a plate as an example, and the pieces are big enough that you can actually glue it back together. Now, we're going to glue this plate back together, and it's going to look good. But there's always going to be that residue of where exactly that glass was broken. You're always going to see it, because there's always going to be a missing piece that you couldn't put it together. It's going to be missing. People might not notice it, but when you look at that plate, you know exactly where the missing piece is. When you're bruised, it may take time to heal, but eventually, when you allow it to heal and you allow your body to naturally heal, you have no idea where that bruise occurred. There's no residue. There's no reminder of where you once hurt. And to be able to differentiate that between broken and bruised then allows you to self-examine yourself and say, am I broken or am I bruised? And I think a lot of people say, oh, I was brokenhearted. No, you were bruised. Because if you allow yourself time to heal, and that means you're not jumping into the next relationship, you're not jumping into the next experience without giving yourself some time to reflect on your past relationship. And I'm not saying dwell on it. I'm not saying sit there 15, 20 years from now and you're still having the same conversation about John Boy hurting me. But you're allowing yourself to say, what did I do to allow this person to do X, Y, and Z? Because in retro, it's never them. As much as we want to put the blame on the other person, people will only do what you allow them to do. Oh, I didn't allow him to cheat. But you did. Because you accepted his shortcomings and his lies when you knew they were lies. You've allowed this person to come in and change your worth. So when we get upset, we cannot necessarily get upset at the other person. So if we give ourselves time to heal and to say, what did I do? What did I do to cause this to happen? And then you form your own dialogue. You change the narrative because it starts with you first. Being in that relationship with that man wasn't all bad, but it wasn't all good. And because I walked into it with my own insecurities, I walked into it thinking, you know, he was an attractive man. You know, he had the look. And I'm saying to myself, what could this man see in me that he would want to be? He can have anybody. Why me? And I devalued myself. So by me devaluing myself, he was able to do so as well. He didn't feed me with positive reinforcements and saying, you know, I think you're beautiful. It was the opportunity to tear down more of me to suit his purpose. And I'm not mad at him. I can have a whole conversation with him right now, and he doesn't affect me because I know my worth. I know who I am. And it's really sad that when I do speak to him, he's still that same person. You're still that same person that is looking for the fast way out, the easy way out, a quick fix. And I use the example of microwave versus crock pot. If there's something that you really want, you'll work on it. It doesn't happen overnight, and it's not easy. So if you put a roast in the microwave, will it cook the roast? Absolutely. I can put a roast in the crock pot and put all the seasonings and set it for 8 hours and go about my business. And then 8 hours later, I take the roast out from the microwave and the roast from the crock pot, and I present it to you. They look the same, but do they taste the same? Because you put the roast in a microwave, it's rubbery, you don't have any taste to it, and it's not fully cooked through. Because it just pretty much surface cooked your meat. Whereas the crock pot is nice and tender, easy to cut, delicious, seasoned well, because it was time to marinate. It was time to soften this meat. So when you have a broken person, they typically go for the microwave life because it's easy. Crockpot means work. And if you haven't healed yourself from the previous relationship, you're going to go into what you know best. Easy, quick, easy and out. And then you wonder why the relationship didn't last. I was with this man off and on for 5 years. More off than on. And I couldn't figure out what was it about him that I needed. Because once I actually got to know who he was, he didn't enhance my life. He didn't bring anything to my life that enhanced it in a way that I can surpass even my own imagination. I'm not mad at him because, again, as much as I was broken, so was he. So maybe we weren't broken because I was able to move on to a new relationship and marry my husband. So maybe we weren't broken. Maybe we were bruised. I resented him for a long time because I felt like he knew what he was doing. He was very intentional or purposeful in what he was doing. But then I allowed it. I'm not stupid. So who's really to blame? And it gets to that point that when people underestimate you, they get the better of you. And I've had friends who cry about the same things over and over, and then they get upset with me when I say, but it's your fault. Oh, how was it my fault? It's your fault. It's your fault because these are things that you allowed. These are things that were under your control, but you allowed the other person to control your narrative and the things that you would accept. I'm not saying to walk around with a whole bunch of Band-Aids. What I'm saying to you is, if it doesn't feel right, 9 times out of 10, it's not. And you're like, oh, but things are going to change. Mm-mm. It can only change when you change. The same way I say to people, you have to change the way you speak to people in order for people to change the way they speak to you. So if someone is in an argument and you're yelling and screaming, if I lower my voice, what happens? You have no choice but to lower your voice to hear what I'm saying. So by lowering my voice, I now control how this conversation is going to go. You will not speak to me in a disrespectful manner. You will not make me feel bad or belittle me. And once you're honest about that, the only thing people can do is conform to how you want things to go. When you're broken, you tend to feed off of other people's expectations of who they want you to be, and not so much of who you are. And it doesn't matter if it's a relationship or a friendship. I've had friends that when I share news with them, instead of being excited and supportive, it comes back with, oh, I don't know if I would do that. I don't think I would do that. But now you have me questioning what I want. I'm not telling you for your approval. I'm telling you this because this is something I'm comfortable with and that I want to do. I have another episode that I'll share with you guys. And it's, you can't take everyone with you. So you have to figure out your level of, are you broken or are you bruised? Because if you're bruised, the healing time starts when you acknowledge it. When you're broken, you know, when you break your arm, they say it takes 8 weeks in a cast. But you never heal because they've given you something to pretty much speed up the process. You can't move your arm. You can't, you're restricted to certain things when it's broken. But when you're bruised, you're able to move about. You're able to stretch it out and allow your body to relax and to heal itself. When you have two broken people who have never had the guidance or the experience or the knowledge to say, this is not for you. And then when you're broken, you have to be able to accept your flaws. And we don't do that. Because we know a couple of weeks, I'll be out there again. Just give me a couple of weeks. When you're bruised, you're going to try to figure out, well, how did I do it? Did I bump my knee on the dresser? Or you try to evaluate to figure out the cause of being bruised. And that's where our mental, we have not done that. We don't do a self-examination of ourselves. We don't examine how we got here. Our first response is to be able to accuse and to defend, but not accept the responsibility of why this happened. I entered into my marriage bruised, not broken, bruised. And my husband gave me the outlet for myself to heal, which is weird because he was just as bruised as I was. But because we came together, we had to allow each other the ability to say, I'm bruised and I need your help. I married my husband 23 days after our first date. Best decision. Best. He offered me the ability to be me. Not the me that everyone else wanted me to be, but the me I had to find and be comfortable with. And by doing that, it was a healing. He's not the source of my happiness, but he's also not the source of my unhappiness either. Broken tends to gravitate to people we think can fix us. Like there's a superpower. They're going to fix all the brokenness in your heart, all the brokenness in your mind. And then when they don't, we get resentful. Now, who's to say that if I would have met my husband years prior, could we have the marriage that we have now? And I'm going to say absolutely not. It's a level of freedom to heal, but on your terms. It's the ability to seek change under your terms. When you're broken, you tend to give people the opportunity to try to fix you. And it never works. They give you all these recommendations and all these alternatives. And it's just a temporary fix because the minute you start to walk on it, you're always going to feel that slight pinch of brokenness. Now, I'm not saying to you that your ability to heal when you're bruised is overnight. I am saying that if you don't take the time, and it doesn't have to be a PSA announcement, oh, I'm healing. I'm self-healing. We don't need to know that. Because when you announce that, you're looking for the approval of others. Less is more. I don't tell people what I'm going to do until after it's done. Because I need to figure out if that's the road for me. And it might not work out the first time. It might not work out the third time. But if I keep working at it on my terms and at my pace, that's when my healing begins. And it's not necessarily a comfortable situation, but it's worth it. I've ended friendships because they were part of the breakdown of who I am and who I was trying to become. I don't regret it because I think that friendships, if they're true, they last because they'll weather any storm. But those that are not genuine or they were never meant to be, they show up. Am I disappointed that someone I thought was a friend stopped speaking to me for a year? I don't know if I'm disappointed in myself or her. But I don't hold any animosity towards her. I just don't want you in my life. Because now you feel we're equals. Because eventually she got married. Now we're friends again. Because now we're on the same playing field. Which I find very interesting. It was okay when you had more than me, or you felt you were better than me. But for me to have what you wanted, we can't be friends. I spend my time with my kids, and I feel okay with that. I actually rather spend time with my kids than some adults. Because my kids are very genuine of who they are. There's no trying to figure them out. That's just who they are. Whereas some adults, I don't know whose representative is showing up first. And then I have to figure out how I'm going to navigate through that. There's nothing wrong with that. If you want to continue in an unhealthy friendship. You're not being transparent with your friend and saying, look, you're not better than me. Our situations may be the same now. But even then, still doesn't make you better than me. And, you know, I said in the introduction, people might listen to this and get upset because the person that I'm speaking about, I'm sure is going to hear it. And that's okay. Because then they may be able to self-examine themselves and the manner which they treat people and the expectations they may have in friendships. I can't carry everyone else's emotions and everyone else's issues. Because then there's a breakdown at that point. Everyone else is flying high and they're healed, and I'm the one that's sitting there broken and bruised. And then when I seek counsel, nowhere to be found. Is that fair? No. But is that life? Yep. Can I accept it? Absolutely. But then once I'm healed, you cannot come back and disturb that. When you have someone that's constantly complaining about the same issue, but with different people, you have to ask them, what's the common denominator in that? And like, what? You have told me 3 different stories about 3 different people, same scenario. Who is the common denominator in that? And then they give you pushback because they don't want to be held accountable for things that they do and say. They don't want to be the cause of the brokenness. And that's when you let them go. I'm a big advocate on surrounding yourself with like-minded people. If you want to build a business, you surround yourself with people who are already in business or on the same path as you to develop a business. The same way I don't tell single friends, marry business. You can't advise me on marriage if you're not married. Contrary to what people say, marriage is a completely different ball game than being boyfriend and girlfriend. When you're married, that commitment is totally different. So I don't take advice, marital advice, from single people. Because your single friend is single for a reason. And if you take her brokenness into your marriage, you're going to have a broken marriage. There's a lot to be examined. And there's a lot to be introduced. And it's new and it's different. And that's not to say it won't work. But in order for it to work, you have to put in the work. People say, oh, I don't need a man, or I'm happy single. No, you're not. You're scared to do the work to set that expectation, not for the other person, but for yourself. So you have to decide, do you want to remain broken or do you want to be bruised? Because being broken is not a good place to be. Your attitude is different. Your relationships are different. And then it affects everything around you. Whereas when you're bruised, even without saying, people know you're healing because they see it. They notice the difference. Your interaction with them is different. There's always going to be a moment where you have to go back to step one. But the ability to do that means you're on the healing path. Because you see step four, you may not be ready for that one yet. So let me go back to step one. And you might have to adjust some things between step one and step four. But it's the adjustment that gives the healing. That's my time. And I thank you so much for listening and allowing me to share my truth. This is not going to be easy, but it's going to be worth it. This is about growth. This is not a race. It's a marathon. So with that being said, again, thank you. I look forward to future episodes. I will do my best to release episodes every week. We may have some call-ins, and I'm actually looking forward to that because it gives a perspective, not just of my own, but around the people actually I surround myself with. So thank you again, and I look forward to the next episode of Transparency Talk.